Welcome to Safety School, where we crunch down health, safety and environment learning into simple, bite-sized snippets that you can use for your business, helping you improve your knowledge, boost your performance, and maybe even providing some inspiration. Let's get started. Hi there, and thanks for joining us. In this episode, we're going to give you three of our top tips to help you deliver better training for your employees. You'll have to excuse me if I cough or splutter during this session due to my current head cold or allergies, which I can't seem to get rid of, but we'll crack on. So firstly, in terms of looking at the planning of your training session, make sure that your content is pitched at a suitable technical level for your whole audience. This is quite key, otherwise you can lose either sections of your audience or your whole audience completely when it comes to delivery. Make sure that the learning is developed according to their existing knowledge. With that in mind, it's also equally important to understand that if you put groups of people into a training room that have a huge variance in terms of their existing knowledge, then the chances are that you're going to either pitch your training too high or too low and lose one of those groups completely from your engagement. So whenever you're planning who is to receive the training, just be aware of that as well, I would say, and make sure you're not putting in HSE professionals with interns that have just come through the door and have no background knowledge or appreciation of the subject matter. This does happen quite a bit, and it's something that can be easily missed. So just don't fall into that trap, would be my advice. Secondly, whenever you're considering your audience, I would pay some attention to the actual age of your audience. Without wanting to sound ageist here, it's well known that different generations have different learning preferences. It is a little bit of a murky area to consider, but it's just something to be aware of, and make sure that if you are training a group of people across a wide age range, that, for example, baby boomers, they are said to be much more preferable or leaning towards lecture style content and that type of learning, whereas Generation Zers, who are those born after 1997, would most likely not like this approach whatsoever, and they are much more keen to be involved actively and engaged with their learning process, whether that be through role play or participatory practical activities and applications of that type. So I will put a blog post link where this is sort of summarized just for you to have a look at all the different generations and their preferences when it comes to learning, and hopefully that will help you. Our second big tip then is practical application, just leading on from what we were saying about the younger generations there. We're often surprised whenever employees complete training, whether that's online or in the classroom, and they appear to do well, but then when it comes to actually implementing what they've learned in the real world, they seem to struggle. This is where we really need to push the envelope when it comes to helping our learners implement these new behaviors that they've learned in the classroom or by whatever means you've taught, by creating actually structured opportunities either along the learning process and throughout the actual courses that you're doing or thereafter, which then you can follow up on and check to see if they have applied what they've learned. If you can think about some way that you can add an interactive follow-up, for example, or some sort of practical application where the group of learners can come together to reflect on how they've applied it, then that's the type of thing that can be really valuable. If you are doing face-to-face training, you can create role play scenarios and get people involved. If it's online training, you can get teams and departments to come together to discuss what they're taking away from the online courses, for example, and then look at how they can use it to support the purpose of the business and so on. One thing I would say as well is to make sure that something we discussed a lot here at safety.com is the importance of soft skills, whether that be leadership, negotiation, collaboration, etc. What I would suggest is when you're putting in these practical applications, that if you're doing it in person, make sure to select those people who would perceivably benefit or that seem a little bit weak in that area to lead the group during those group activities. Give them a go at doing things they maybe aren't confident at doing, and obviously that's part of the process. For example, if you're doing conflict management, I would put the person who's most reluctant into the role, if they're willing, to interview someone, for example, and to try and resolve conflict and see how they get on. Also, as well as that, you know, take every opportunity you can. If you have learning groups that are coming together to work on certain activities, bringing them together and sharing their learning amongst the network and their colleagues to make sure they're learning from one another as well, which is really valuable. Our last top tip today on this one is to make sure you pick the right person to deliver the actual training. Sometimes it's difficult to get in-house support for this type of thing, but you really need to pick someone who is quite passionate about the outcomes of the training, not just the subject matter itself, but actually someone who has vested interest and cares about the outcomes of those that are trying to learn. Particularly if someone has real world experience with the subject matter, that can be really valuable, or just someone who can link the actual purpose of the training to the outcomes in reality. That might be you, that might be someone else in your organization, or it could be someone such as myself who's an external trainer being brought into your business. You need to deliver the training with passion and confidence and really ensure that those that are learning are convinced of the actual value of the content that's being delivered. And if you can't convince them that what it is they're learning actually matters, then I would argue that you've already lost the battle before you've even begun. So just bear that one in mind as well. That's it for three of our top tips on how you can make your training better and more effective. Make sure to check out a couple of the resources that I'll post on the podcast page for this one, and hopefully it'll help you get a little bit more creative and help you along your way to produce better training. See you soon and good luck. That's it for this episode of Safety School. We hope this was helpful. If so, please remember to rate, review and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts or Spotify. And remember, for more health, safety and environment help, you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care.